To be content is one of those rare jewels. For to be content makes the poor rich, and discontent makes the rich poor. And that's the secret of the psalm that we've read together in this morning. David is sometimes angry, sometimes confused, baffled by God's providence. And he's not the only one. And yet he also comes to answers in this psalm and in other psalms. We can read the same thing, as Asa struggled with the Lord, didn't find any of God's providence make sense in his life. We don't hear the struggles as much in Paul's life. He at least never shared them. We see the opposite in him. As he's in prison, he sings. Or when he's in the last prison, he's content in whatsoever state I am. He's learned this jewel of contentment. Think about those three young men, children, who stand in the plain of Jura before the fire of Nebuchadnezzar. They're content to be thrown in the fire. As Daniel is thrown in the lion's den, he's content as he sits among the lions at night, delighting himself in Jehovah. That's the only way that is possible, isn't it? So what's the key to this contentment? Well, if you have your scriptures open, Psalm 37 has a massively beautiful introduction to the rest of the psalm. The first 8 verses are, in a certain sense, an introduction to the rest of the psalm, which is a kind of overview of the life of the wicked and of the righteous. But what's the key to this contentment? Notice the verse 3, there's the word trust. And in verse 4 is the word delight. And in verse 5 is the word commit thy way unto the Lord. And then you come to verse 7, rest. Trust, delight, commit, rest. God enables you today in whatever circumstances you are to trust in the Lord and to delight yourself in God and to commit. The word in the Hebrew means to roll over a large stone. It's not always easy to commit your way to God, is it? But he says, commit your way to God and he will make it well. And then rest in the Lord and wait. I've got that word waiting again. You find it several times in this psalm. This trusting, this waiting on God, this giving it in his hand. Here, Lord, and prayerfully committing it and prayerfully bringing it before him. Now, I want to focus mainly on verse 4 today. Delighting in the Jehovah. Let's read our text again. Delight thyself also. Notice the word also that builds up from the previous verse, trust and do good. Delight thyself also in Jehovah, and he shall give thee desires of thine heart. Let's just see if we can take that a little bit apart this morning. What is the basis of delighting yourself in Jehovah? And secondly, what is that now, to delight yourself? What is that? How do you do that? What is it when I delight myself in Jehovah? And then thirdly, what does God promise, the fruit of that? Thou shalt have the desires of thine heart. Yeah, it's a very rich and beautiful promise. So, first then, the basis of this delighting. Now, if you read the Psalms, you notice that David's life and your life are intersecting. I'm sure things don't always square up in your life. I'm sure in your and my life, sometimes there are riddles. Big riddles. Painful riddles. God's providence sometimes seems so unfair. The people that don't care for him, they prosper. And the people that try to walk the narrow and straight pathway, they get beaten, trouble. And sometimes we felt like David and others, questioning, perhaps doubting even that God exists. It seems so random, the way God leads our lives. Psalm 37 pictures a little bit of this inequality, doesn't it? Verse 1 says, speaks about the workers of iniquity. Well, they seem to prosper, as it says in this psalm. And not only does David struggle with that, we know Asaph, we know Jeremiah, we know Job. Man, did Job struggle with that, didn't he? Trying to grasp the Father's wisdom in guiding the details of his life, it just didn't seem right. He had been upright, he had been living right, he had been trying to live right at least, and he just gets wave upon wave upon wave. And why, Lord? And so that's where our lives intersect with this psalm, I think. And yet this old veteran, David, wrote this psalm to encourage us. He wrote his psalm to remind us things don't look what it seems like. It's like he wants to take us behind the curtain. He wants to remind us there is someone beyond the circumstance that we see and feel who is in control, who doesn't let a sparrow fall from the housetop, who doesn't let a hair fall from the head. And we need to be constantly reminded of that, don't we? So that we don't lose sight that Jehovah is in the control tower of this universe. And so then, as David is saying, delight thyself in the Lord, notice what it follows. It follows verse 3. Trust in the Lord. Yeah, it really follows verse 1 and 2 as well. Fret not. The word fret means don't be angry. Don't stew in angry thoughts about the evildoers. Don't be envious and jealous about them. Or look, they're like grass. They're going to be cut down just like that and wither as the green herb. And then it comes to verse 3. He says, trust in God and do good. Do the right things, he says. Trust him and do the right things and leave the rest to God. That's kind of where Solomon comes to in the end of his book in Ecclesiastes. All we need to do is, our duty is to fear God and to do the right things and leave the rest of all the injustice and all the crooked that is not going to be resolved in this life to God, for there comes a judgment day. He will put it all straight. That's hard. Because we want it now, don't we? We want it fixed now, at this moment, in this life. And friends, that's not always going to happen to all of us. But trust in God. Depend on Him. Leave it with the Lord. And that seems pretty hard when you face injustice or when you're enduring torture, as so many do, who are following God faithfully. And yet, friends, it is not impossible. Because God enables people to trust Him. God enables them in the most amazing circumstances, people to trust Him and to be joyful even about it. Millions of people, of followers, they love those that hate Him. They are. You read these stories of these persecuted, and you think, Lord, I have never even started to love. When I read how these people love even the torturers and the abusers, the prison guards. So God can do it to enable us to trust Him. Now, this delighting of the Lord, notice in verse 4, precedes the granting of your desire. I'll come back to that in the last thought. But notice the order of verse 4. First delight, then fulfillment. Not, he will first fulfill the desires of your heart and then you'll delight in him. No, not that way. Delight yourselves in Jehovah before he grants your desires or changes the circumstances. Now that seems to be impossible. How can I delight myself in Jehovah when he allows the wicked in my life to prosper, or to allow the wicked in my neighbor's life to prosper? How can I do that? How can I delight myself in the Lord when my business and my farm is going down and the costs are rising and the income is getting less? And inflation on top of that. I'm hardly to make ends meet. And here you ask me to delight yourself in the Lord. How can I do that? How can I delight myself in the Lord when our culture goes woke and broke because of that? And that everything around us that we've taken for granted seems to fall apart as our leaders are blinded. How can I delight myself in the Lord as I lay on my bed, slowly on dying? And all the means are failing. My body is wearing down. And then, delight yourself in the Lord. Or when you are getting older and you're still single, while others trash their marriages as if they are disposables. How can I delight myself, Lord, in these, when all these circumstances are piling up in my life? Or maybe you say, how can I delight myself in the Lord when others are having their job and I've lost mine, that I worked hard for and studied long for? Or others are proceeding and get the promotion, and I don't. How is it possible for David to tell me, delight thyself also in the Lord? Now notice that little word also, congregation. It is impossible if you don't trust Jehovah. It's impossible if you don't know who God is and don't trust him completely. And that's why we have that word also in our text. Delight thyself also in the Lord. The name Lord is such a beautiful name. The capital letter Lord, right? Jehovah, the covenant God. The God who revealed himself to Moses in his own sermon on his own name. I am the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness, forgiving iniquity and sin, transgressions. Marvelous God of holiness and justice. Justice as well. The Sovereign Almighty. The one who created all things out of nothing and is maintaining every detail of the universe. Jehovah, he says, delight and trust in Jehovah, the one who is mindful of the sparrows on the rooftop, the one who is mindful of the number of your hairs on your head, and the one who sees the distant galaxies. And yet he also sees the tear in your eye. Or perhaps the one in your heart. And keeps them in a bottle. At least the ones we cry out before him. That's Jehovah. That's the lovely God who has made himself known to us as a faithful God. That's the one, friends, who is so wise that he makes no mistake. I put this little poem in the bulletin this week again. One of my all favorites, actually. He makes no mistake. its way may twist and turn, your heart may throb and ache, but in my soul I'm glad to know he maketh no mistake. That's Jehovah. Yes, he is writing, he wrote the script of your life. Every aspect, every circumstance, every event, he maketh no mistake. Before your days began, your life was written in his book. He maketh no mistake. You see, if we don't believe that and we can't hold on to this, even when our cherished plans and our fervent dreams may fade away, yea, even if the night might be dark and if the troubles may be many, while it seems the day will never come, let us be holding on to this revelation of the character of God. He, Almighty, wise and sovereign. But not sovereign in separation of his goodness. Not sovereign in separation of his wisdom. Not sovereign in his separation from his love. They're all united in this glorious being. And so trust. And without trusting, friends, it is impossible to delight yourself in the Lord. Let's take one of the saints of old in front of us, Abraham. Wakes up one night and dear Jehovah says to him, take your Isaac and go 3 days to Mount Moriah. And I want you to sacrifice him to me with your own hand. Just ponder waking up with that one morning of your life. Old Abram had probably thought that his hardships were over when finally little Isaac was born and is growing up to be a nice young man. And yet the sorest and the sharpest trial remained to come when God told him, take your Isaac and go and sacrifice him. You know, there's probably no command in the Bible that is more bewildering than that one. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt, it means test, Abraham, and said, Abraham, yes, Lord, behold, here I am. Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee to Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains I tell thee of. What a mysterious word. What a bewildering word. Losing Isaac through a sickness or through an accident, yeah, that would have been bad enough. But to sacrifice him with your own personal hand is worse than 1,000 deaths. And Abraham delighted himself in Jehovah without a question, without a remorse, without an objection, trusting Jehovah that even if he would plunge the knife in his own son's heart, that God would raise him up again. Trust ye in Jehovah and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land. Abram did. And Abraham did receive the desire of his heart. Let's sing together from Psalm 53. Let's do all 5 verses today as our children are memorizing this. Wonderful children to memorize this psalm entirely. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. And what follows then in Psalm 53, all verses.
Thank you.
delight thyself also in the Lord. What is that now? To delight yourself in the Lord. Literally the Hebrew is take pleasure in the Lord. Take real pleasure in tracing out, in meditating through, in searching out who God is, and take pleasure in delighting. In Psalm 94 verse, one of the verses, I think you have another delighting, same words. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Multitude of thoughts. Think of Job. Think of Abram walking those 3 days with his boy. Multitude of thoughts. Think of Martha and Mary as they sit at Lazarus' deathbed. And finally, he died and is buried. Think of that mother walking after that only son as a widow in Nain. Multitude of thoughts. And maybe you sit here too today with multitude of thoughts as you worry, as you struggle with health, with this business, with other personal issues. What would comfort you then in those circumstances? In the multitude of the thoughts, there is no comfort in our thoughts that come up out of our heart. But the poet says, thy comfort, thy light, my soul. Thy comforts. What are those then? What are the comforts that he is trying to delight in and in his soul? Those are the glories that God reveals of himself. All the attributes. We need to meditate through those attributes of God. Those are the comforts. The promises of the Scripture. The histories of God's work. As he takes his people through the deep valleys, as we just sang of David, when I go to the valley of the shadow of death. Now, how many have not gone there and have experienced the rod and the staff of God to comfort them? Those are the comforts. As we glean them from God's dealings with his own people in his faithfulness, in his mercy, in his goodness. Those are the comforts, friends. One of the psalters we sing, his saints delight to search and trace his mighty works and wondrous ways. Majestic glory, boundless grace and righteousness his works displays. And that is what you need to focus on when everything around you is crooked. Deficient, broken, wounded, dark and depressing. You need to take your mind off of that and delight yourself in Jehovah. Oh, how can I do that? Indeed, that must be your prayer then. In my late wife's Bible, I discovered some years after she had died that right next to this verse she had written, oh, if I only could do that. And if that is what your thought is, then you write it before the throne of God this moment. Enable me, Lord, to delight myself in thee, though my life is falling apart. Though my health is deteriorating, though my finances are dropping, though whatever else you put on the dot, 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 help me, enable me to delight, to find pleasure in the constancy and the unchangeableness and the majesty and the glory of thyself, O Jehovah. To delight, my friend, is to meditate and to rejoice in everything that belongs to God. Take his name in front of you. Wonderful. Counselor. Prince of Peace. Eternal Father. Mighty God. Or the sweetest of all. Jesus Christ. Ponder these names. Chew these names in your mind. Pray through these names. Lift up these names. Ask the Lord to show you deeper and deeper what world of comfort is in every one of those names of Jehovah that He has revealed Himself with. Our confession of faith begins with this beautiful statement, what is God? And the last statement, I think, in that confession is, He is the overflowing fountain of all goodness. Hallelujah. What a comfort. The world is overflowing with floods of evil. My life is overflowing with trials and difficulties. My heart is overflowing with corruption. But there is none that can overflow the fountain of goodness. That's our comfort. That's our fortune. That's our stability. That is what gives perspective. No matter where you sit or lay or struggle or wrestle or sweat or die. Delight myself in Jehovah. Jehovah, someone said, is like the ocean. The deeper you dive into Him, the more treasures you find. And you'll never get to the bottom of it. So let's pray, God, that we may be exercised in this delighting ourselves in Jehovah. I think it's on your outline, the quote from John Howe, to live in the fear of God and to place all your trust in Him is the greatest delight one can receive in this world. Do you say amen to that? Have you tasted that? Those moments in your life that you could truly delight yourself and, as it were, swim away in the ocean of God. Those are the heavens on earth. Those are the moments, friends, when all the troubles and all the trials flee away. And those are the foretastes of what's coming. And God delivers us from this wilderness and places us in His everlasting mansion. And what will we do there? Delighting ourselves forever and forever and forever in more and more and more of Jehovah. If here the ocean is unmappable to us, how much more must the Creator of the universe be? Delighting ourselves in Jehovah. What a beautiful preoccupation. Let's conclude with the third thought on this verse. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I already noted to you the divine order in this. It's not the Lord will grant the desires of your heart and therefore delight in Him. He does everything you ask. He's giving you the things you've been praying for. And now delight in Him. No, it's the reverse order, isn't it? First, delight yourself in the Lord. And then He will give thee the desires of thine heart. Well, will God then fulfill all the desires of mine heart? Yes and no would be my answer. No, He will not answer all the desires of your heart because some of them are not good. He will not spoil you. He will not indulge you. He will know as the wisest father what is good for you as a child or as an adult. He hasn't given all the desires of the heart to His people. As I think back on this text, as I preached it some year, maybe a couple months or weeks, I forget now, but He didn't give the desire of my heart that I could keep my wife, my first wife. And some of you have prayed for health and He's not given that. So no, definitely He will not give us all the desires of our heart. He knows what's good for us. And yet, The answer is also yes. He will give the desires of thine heart. But you see, when you learn to delight yourself in Jehovah, the desires of your heart will change. They all fall in line with the first part of our text. When I delight myself in Jehovah, I might not ask for the things I used to ask for. But guaranteed, there are desires of the heart that God will answer. Let's just look at six of them real briefly. I mentioned them only because you can expound them in your own mind. Those that delight in Jehovah have one desire, that I may know Him more and more. And you will get that answered. That one is guaranteed. As I hunger to know Him more, as Paul did, oh, that I may know Him more and better, so I can trust Him more and delight in Him more and have more rest in Him. True, you will. Those that delight in the Lord also not only want to know Him better, they want to be more like Him. Oh God, that I may be like Thee more and more. That I may be like Jesus in my love, in my gentleness, in my meekness, in my faith, in my joy, in my ministry to others, in my denying myself, in my sacrificing myself. Those are desires of those who delight in Jehovah. You'll have those desires. For He will make those that are His more and more conformable to Jesus. Thirdly, those that delight themselves in the Lord, they will be much more desiring to be useful to His glory. You know, when the Apostle Paul prays, oh God, deliver me from this wretched body that I am. He's not just only looking for the deliverance of that problem. He is looking for, so I can serve Thee better. I don't have to be hindered by this wretched body. I'm struggling with my tiredness, my weariness, my bosom sin, my whatever problems he had. And so Paul longs to be delivered so he can serve God better. You'll have that desire. God will grant that. That is indeed what He will do for His church. That one day He says, those that wait on me, they shall run without weary. They shall walk without faint. They shall rise up as eagles. Yeah, that's the promise. You'll have that desire. Fourthly, those that delight themselves in Jehovah desire to be more submissive without murmuring. To be able to say, Amen, Lord, to everything God does in their life. To be like Octavius Winslow when he writes, whatever he lays upon me, whatever he withholds from me, whatever he takes out of my life, whatever he adds into my life that is hard, that I may say, it is well. It is well. What Thou doest. And if you say, Lord, that's what I desire, that I may kiss the rod, that I may glorify Thee in the valleys of trial with singing to Thy glory, you'll have your desire. You will have it because He said it. Delight thyself in Jehovah, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Oh, if it is your delight is in Jehovah, friend, you want to be more obedient in your walk. You want to be more godly, more thankful, more God glorifying, and more joyful about Him. And see, those will be desires that he will fulfill. Jesus, in John chapter 15, also says that, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, that is, if you delight in me, and in my words, listen to what he says, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, in the context of that chapter is bearing fruit to God's glory. In that context, he says, ask and you'll have it. That's exactly what this text says. If you delight in me and in my word, delight in my Christ, delight in my being, you shall have the desires of your heart. And there will be no doubt more than the ones I listed. And so, friends, let's ask ourselves, is your greatest delight Jehovah? Is the one in your life that has the chief delight Jehovah? And is he becoming that more and more? You say, how would I know, Pastor? I struggle daily with all these horrific vain thoughts of my heart. I struggle all day and all night in my dreams and in my waking hours with a heart that wants to stray, that wants to think about a multitude of vain things. Well, let me just answer your question. How do I know I am delighting in Jehovah? Then missing God will be your greatest misery. If that's the case, and if you can say with the heart like David, O God, as my heart panteth after the living God, as the deer panteth after the waters, so does my heart pant after thee. Now, there's no greater misery for that deer not to have water. There's no greater misery for David not to have the Lord. That's the lighting. That's a sign that Jehovah is your delight. If Jehovah is your delight, then seeking God will be your greatest good and your greatest effort. Think of that bride in Song of Solomon. She says, oh, tell me where he is, whom my soul loveth. She's out on the streets in the night hours even, seeking for him whom she so loves. And friends, if you are a seeker of God, is it then not because you delight in him? And if you are delighting in him, then finding God will be your greatest joy. See that eunuch on the way? He's rather depressed. He'd come to Jerusalem and not found what he was looking for. He's on his way back home, reading the book, but he didn't get it. He's been seeking, spending money to buy a book of Isaiah. It would have been a pretty hefty price. Right? And on his way home, he hasn't found it. And then God tells Philip to go and join him, and he preaches Christ unto him. And as the man embraces Jesus by faith, he goes on his way rejoicing. He's never joyed in his life before like that. And do you know of those moments when you find in the Scripture an answer to your soul that your heart jumps up with joy? That's a sign of delighting in Jehovah. If you delight in Jehovah, grieving God will be your greatest burden. But you can't live up to him, to his glory and to his goodness. That will be a cause for grief. The price of real love is real tears, someone said. And that's not only true in our natural life. That's even more true in our spiritual life. The price of real love is real tears. And if there is in your heart grieving, over the sins that you see yourself do to this Jehovah. And you grieve because you see others sinning. My friend, and you are delighting in Jehovah. If walking in His law with tenderness and uprightness is your greatest pleasure, if you say, oh, if I only could live more godly, and that finds the pleasure of my heart, if holiness is your happiness, then you are delighting in Jehovah. For His delight is to meditate in the law of the Lord day and night. And lastly, if you find that submitting to God's rod will be one of your great pleasures, though He may not remove the rod, but kissing the rod and say to Him, it is well, Lord. And when you find in these moments your joy again, and you have something of what the Apostle Paul had when he writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and in reproaches and in necessities and in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong, and therefore most gladly do I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And so, if in all the midst of your turmoil and your multitude of thoughts, you can discover these six aspects, missing God, seeking God, finding God, grieving God, walking in His law and submitting to Him, even if all of them are so feeble and fickle, and it is clear that God has made Himself to you your greatest delight. But keep in mind, we will never delight in God, Jehovah, until He makes us delight in Him. Later on in the Psalm verse 23, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Hear that? Those are not the good steps ordered by the man, but by the Lord. And then, God delighteth in His way. As not only in delighting of His people in Jehovah, as also in delighting of Jehovah in His people. And what came first? It's this last one. He delights in His people, and they learn to delight in Him. Now, if this God is not your greatest delight, my friends, then all what you delight in is so empty, so vain, so temporary. I want to ask you to answer a question today, and I would love it today if you would take that question and write it on the top of a piece of paper and write your answer to Jesus. I mean it, literally. Do that once today. The question is, what shall it profit a man when he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? That's the question the Spirit is asking you this morning in the name of Jesus. Take some time to write that question down and to write an answer to God yourself. What shall it gain me? If I have all the pleasures, I've experienced all the joys, I've gained everything in the world is to be gained, lose my soul. By faith, Moses refused the pleasures and treasures of Egypt, choosing rather to suffer affliction and loss with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures sin for a season. And why did he do that? Because he saw that sharing the reproach of Christ in this world is so much greater than to possess all the treasures and pleasures of Egypt. Amen. Beloved, Jehovah, faithful covenant God, order thou our steps and teach thou us to delight ourselves in thee. Make us, Lord, to hear what thou made the Samaritan woman hear. Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. And Lord, let that what thou asked her also this morning penetrate our hearts to ask thee the question she asked, Lord, evermore. Give me this water that I thirst no longer. Bless thou, Lord, thy people among us, whom thou hast taught to delight themselves in thee. And what an encouragement thou gavest this morning that thou wilt fulfill the desires of our heart that are according to thy will and word. Though we may feel poor and needy, we will not always be so. For thou wilt fulfill the desires of our hearts that thou knowest. And Lord, those that are not desires we ought to have, Lord, thou show them and take them away. Cause us to focus our minds on thee. In the midst of all our daily work, Lord, we can be so distracted and so bombarded with all the things of time and sense and sin. And so thank thee for these elims in the beginning of our week. Bless this day. Help us to sanctify it with our families. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen.